Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the blue light of Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether you're with us online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question.
Always.
Always, without exception.
Yep.
And this week, that movie is the 2011 Let's Grow a Beard and See What Happens documentary. Say it for me, somebody.
Kumari.
See, I wanted to set
Kumari.
I wanted to set that tone early. Kumari. I won't sing the song.
You will.
Somebody will do it eventually.
Somebody's going to do it. But hey, yeah, if you've seen this film, keep listening. See how you agree with our take on it, or if you agree with our take on it. But don't let that stop you. If you haven't seen it, even better yet, I think, then you keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. Introductions, once again, I'm Michael, your host. Along with, to my left, we're talking about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hadn't seen you in like a week.
Yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah, something like that. How was your week?
Not bad. How was yours?
How was my week?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, every week you ask.
Do I?
Yeah. Okay. I had a fantastic week.
Excellent.
You want to know why?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I wasn't forced down on all fours and made to stick my tongue out.
That's good.
Was anybody made to do that?
Yeah. I was.
That's what I was going to say. Unlike someone else at this table. No one put a buffer on my chest, like a paint buffer?
Really?
No one buffed out my chest.
That's a good time, man.
Yeah, but I had a fantastic week. Right. And also, I did not have to scuba dive on someone's living room floor.
In front of their fireplace. Missed out.
Oh, is that like a favorite pastime for you?
I do it every Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay.
Just random people, really. Show up in my scuba gear.
You come, like you look like the guy from The Graduate.
That's it.
Ben, come in there with your flippy floppies on.
Right.
Yeah.
Just straight through. Don't even say hey.
Every Tuesday.
I had a great week. And you know who's chiming in over there?
Who's that?
We're talking about Matthew St. Hoodie. He's to your left, and there he is.
Oh.
Namaste.
The patron saint of quality outerwear. And this leads me to a question.
Oh, good.
Is a crusty beard and an orange robe considered quality outerwear?
No. What?
Because you're halfway there. I'm just telling you right now.
The word is quality, and it's not meeting my standards.
Well, I'm just saying that you're halfway there.
We got to talk about the crust. We'll figure out what is the crust made out of, the consistency, how much, and then we'll get there later.
I have no idea. I just assume it's crusty. It kind of looked that way. Speaking of crusty,
hey,
about Max Gumbo Johnson?
Oh, I thought you were going to Adam. She said crusty. I figured it wouldn't been coming to me. Doggone it.
But you know what? If you had a beard, and it had crust, it would probably have gumbo crust in it, like where your gumbo would drip down and get caught in the beard.
It could, yeah, possibly.
I'm glad you don't have one.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
Wait a second.
You could reserve it.
I just noticed this. He shaved off his goatee.
I shaved it, yeah. I'm clean shaven again.
Have
yeah.
you been someone else this whole time, and now that you shaved it off, you have something to reveal to us?
Yes. What's your real name, sir?
I'm not telling you that.
Gumby Bears. Guru.
Gumby Bears. You're trying to bring that back. You're really going there?
Yeah, yeah. That was, boy, that's a...
That's an oldie bit of goodie.
Yeah, I wouldn't say goodie, but I will say a good producer we do have, and that is Adam the Bomb Rogers. One last time, there he is. Greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I was waiting.
Wow.
There it was.
Actually, kind of worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah, so here we are. Okay, Q Filmcast, and we're going to be talking tonight about Kumari. I think I said it right.
Close enough.
Whatever. Kumari, okay? The Kumari? We're going to talk about the Kumari. 2011. All right, but before we get into that, and we will reach deep inside ourselves. We will bask in the blue light, and we will tell you and reveal what we thought of this film. But we have to talk about how to keep up with this.
Sure.
You know how you do that.
Yeah.
Any way you want. I don't know what to tell you. Any way you want. You have Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, all that. But I say you go to theqfilmcast.net. And I'll tell you why you go there. First of all, you can tell us what you think of this show.
Sure.
Or any of the movies we've reviewed. But if you go there, you can connect automatically through Facebook.
Yeah.
Automatically through Twitter, Savage. You hear what I'm saying, Hoodie?
I got you. I'm with you.
You got it? Everything's there. It's a catch-all is what
I'm saying. You can have the show automatically downloaded to your phone. You can sign up for that.
Yeah.
I recommend you do.
Follow people.
Follow.
I'll send you a penny.
Yeah, just follow Max. Follow Max everywhere he goes. Yeah, so let's get into this thing here. Kumari. Interesting, yeah. Directed by, I'm going to try to say this, is it Vikram?
Vikram.
Vikram Gandhi. Is it really Gandhi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But from the Jersey Gandhis.
Okay, yeah.
The long line of Jersey Gandhis.
Typically going to who directed the film, who it stars, what else they've been in, what you might know them from. There's nothing here. Right. This is straight off a one-off project, a first-time project. And this was a film selected by Hard Sub Savage.
Yep.
Tell us why you queued this particular film up.
Well, it's been a while, like you said, since we've done a documentary. And this one intrigued me. This one's been on my radar for a while. I've kind of put it off watching it for many reasons, which we'll get into. But decided to watch it and decided to make y'all watch it.
Did you watch it before you queued this up?
I did.
Okay. All right, so it wasn't like a blind pick. You knew what we were going to watch.
Yeah, no, I couldn't pick this blind.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also have a top three list, as we say. It's always inspired by the movie in question.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm getting at, Max, right?
I know what you're getting
at. Why don't you reveal what the top three is this week based on Kumari.
Kumari.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how we're wording this, but characters who aren't exactly what they seem to be.
That's why I want him to do it, because I didn't know what to say.
Close enough.
How's that? Is that good?
There are different ways to go. And when you go to the site after we post this, we'll figure something out. But basically, characters who are not what you think they are not who they say they are.
Yeah. That's good.
Appear to be.
That's a broad category.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure we'll be all over the map.
I had a lot of trouble with that one.
So that's it. Characters who are not who they say they were. And Kumari, 2011. Let's get into the reviews. And typically we critique the critics, as we say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're talking about IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. So let's do that. Savage, I'm going to go to you first.
Okay.
Now you tell me, what do you think IMDb gave this film that you queued up, Kumari?
7.9.
Oh, he's close. He's so close. 7.5.
Yeah. Overbid.
Yeah, not much.
Happens.
I mean, that's technically within the margin of error. A 0.4, within 4 points.
All right.
Yeah, so good job. Good on you there. How about you, Hoodie? Let's go over to Rotten Tomatoes. We have critics. We have users. Mm. This is freshness. I know you know a thing about freshness. You're probably the freshest one at this table.
I know. Come on.
He uses dryer sheets.
Okay.
And Febreze. Lots of it.
It's quality.
8.
Eight. Eight what? This is percentage.
Eight.
All right, I'm going to go critics. Eight. Critics.
8%.
You got to talk about critics. Critics on Rotten Tomatoes gave this what percentage?
We'll go with an 80 again.
Okay, well, it's 59%. You're way off. That's like 20. Yeah.
Wow.
21%.
I might be the best dressed, but I am cold.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, not a lot of love from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes for Kumari 2011, but the users, Max.
Strange.
I'm going to you on users, Rotten Tomatoes wise.
Probably going to be a huge swing.
Users, I would imagine. I mean, wow, that's really low. 76%?
No, it's 83% fresh.
Whoa.
From the users, yeah.
Yeah.
A big difference.
That's
man.
A big difference.
That's a Coriolanus swing.
That's a 30-point swing.
I think Coriolanus was like 40.
It was 40.
Yeah. 40.
I'm trying to get that back.
The other way.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what you have. You have 7.5 IMDb and all over the place on Rotten Tomatoes. But let's talk about what this documentary is. Let's see what Savage brought to the temple tonight. Here's what you have. Kumari 2011 tells the story of Kumari, a wise guru from the East and his indoctrinated followers in the West. Kumari, however, is not real. Did you know he's the alter ego of American filmmaker Vikram Gandhi, who impersonated the spiritual leader for the sake of social experiment, designed to challenge one of the most widely accepted taboos that only a tiny 1% can connect to the rest of the world through a higher power. Concealing his true identity from everyone he meets, Kumari forges profound and spiritual connections with people from all walks of life. At the same time, in the absurdity of living as an entirely different person, Vikram, the filmmaker, is forced to confront difficult questions about his own identity. At the height of his popularity, Kumari, unveils his true identity to a core group of disciples who are knee-deep in personal transformation. Will they accept his final teaching? Can this illusion reveal a greater spiritual truth? Kumari, at once playful and profound, is an insightful look at faith and belief. The film received fair reviews upon release. Many movie reviewers criticized its deception as immoral, but partially forgave the filmmaker for realizing that the experiment had grown out of his control. Many comparisons to the character of Kumare are to Sacha Baron Cohen's Borat character.
He made my list.
Did he? He made your list, yeah. All right, guys, so there you go. Let's take a break here. Listen to a trailer from the documentary 2011, Kumare. And you come on back here. We're going to talk about what we thought of this one right here.
So many of us look to the wisdom of the East to solve our problems in the West. Growing up in America, I too had a lot of questions. And I met a lot of religious leaders who claimed to have the answers. But were these gurus real or just full of it? To find out, I decided to impersonate a spiritual leader and build my own following. That's how I became Kumare.
Hello.
If you act like a guru, then you can become a guru, no? Then you come like this.
Exhale. I have a guru. It's really wild.
Begin to feel the blue light.
I feel myself getting warmer than normal. I'm sure that's your energy.
I have always wanted to connect with a true, authentic person from India.
I have intense feelings about the whole planet.
The purity, the honesty, there's nothing phony about it.
You don't know if I am good, I am bad. You don't know that.
I just can't believe that you would come and spend this much time with individuals.
Just what you're doing right here, by coming here and helping others, the most important thing you can do.
I will tell my kids, my grandkids, about this wonderful person that came into my life and changed me.
I am the biggest faker that I know. I fake so much, I forget who I was before.
Q Filmcast, there you go, talking about the film you just heard from right there. 2011's documentary about a guy in a beard, in a robe, Kumare.
Is it really a robe? And laughing all weird. Who's that?
Buggy-eyed.
I'd like to laugh.
And sometime he laughed, he'd go, like a snake, like a cobra.
Hit a silent laugh.
Don't talk about
it's
people
like a
laughing
vampire.
Weird.
Grandmother laugh.
Oh.
Maybe.
We're getting way off track. But actually, we're going to touch back onto that, because weird. That's a big part of this film. Mm-hmm. Who this guy is, where he came from, his roots, his grandmother.
Yeah.
They should have actually had the grandmother in the movie, I thought.
She was probably
I kept waiting
not
for it.
Around.
Yeah. Yeah. As the in memoriam testifier.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Oh, was it dedicated to her,
yes,
or something?
It
oh,
was.
Maybe I didn't stick around for the credits. I don't know. Maybe I did. Yeah. But let's talk about this movie here, 2011's Kumare once again. We know what the critics thought.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get into what we thought right here.
Sure.
Actually, first of all, before we do that, we usually do a little bit of Did You Know? And let me tell you what, there wasn't a whole lot on this film. Usually we get into a little bit of facts and trivia, some things about the movie.
Yeah.
I only found a few things. Actually,
what did you find?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot out there. I mean, usually it's just like, well, you know, this and that during production, yeah. Post-production, here's what happened.
Yeah, documentaries.
I heard that he faked the whole thing.
That's what
yeah.
I heard.
Did
too.
You know that he
spoiler
faked
alert.
It?
Well, let me tell you what I did find.
He's
I did
a
find.
Phony.
Did you know? Actually, I have a few things. Did yeah. you know that Vikram is half Portuguese? You know, his father is a Portuguese immigrant. He's
Portuguese guru.
He's half Portuguese.
Guru.
So he's not from the nation of goo.
No.
No. No,
he,
I didn't know that.
He fled Portugal. In 1976, and landed in New Jersey, sought asylum. Did you know that?
Good on him.
Did you know that Vikram started his own line of rums in 2013 called Vic Rums? Did you know that?
Vic Rums?
No idea.
Really?
Yeah, a line of rums. He has a spicy rum.
Ron Jeremy started his rum, so why not Vic Rum?
Yeah.
I have a signed bottle of Ron Jeremy rum. Thanks, James, for that.
I'm not drinking
greatest
any.
Greatest birthday present ever.
I will consume no liquid that has Ron Jeremy attached to it.
I think that's a good life.
Yeah.
That's a good life.
Did you know, also, one more thing, too, about Vikram. You know, in the scene in this film where he shaved his face?
Yeah.
They lost that. They had to get someone else with a beard look just like him.
Like a stunt shaver?
Like a stunt shaver. Did you know that?
I did not know he had a stunt shaver.
Yeah, I found all kinds of interesting stuff about this film.
I feel kind of like he duped me.
He duped you. Yeah, that's right. So there you go, a little bit of trivia, a little bit of trivia right there. But you know, we do not use thumbs up or thumbs down.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid.
It's so dumb.
It is phony. It's fake. It's pretentious. It's all the things we hate.
I kind of like stars, though.
Okay.
We let the movie tell us how we're going to rate it. And tonight, I think we're using 1 to 10. What, Savage?
Blue lights.
Blue light, like blue light special, like Kmart.
Kind of like that. Kind of not.
Kmart was a very spiritual place because they had a blue light special daily.
Whoa.
Do you remember
several?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. And they actually had blue lights flashing that you'd run to the store.
Yeah, it'd be like old woman's panties half off and, you know, like Q-tips.
Don't ever repeat that phrase ever again.
I don't ever want to see old lady's panties half off.
I may want to rephrase that. I don't know why that came to mind. What is my inner spirit trying to say?
Because it's Kmart. That's all they sell is old lady
panties.
Yeah,
I think of like old ladies' panties when I think of shopping at Kmart. Anyway, this is supposed to be a spiritual, deep episode. So we're going to do that. We're going to get off the panties.
Yeah.
We're going to go into our inner self, and we're going to talk about Kumare.
Sure.
2011. 1 to 10 blue lights, Savage. I'm going to let you lead this off because you queued it up, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Reveal your true rating of this film right now. What is it?
Well, I had a lot of trepidation going into this film, and I came out the other end of the experience enlightened. I'm giving it a 10.
Really?
I do. I think it's something that's so well done, it needs to be seen.
Well, let's go to your left then. That's Matthew St. Hoodie. You know the routine, Hoodie. So what you got? 1 to 10 blue light, what?
This was a tricky one for me. Starting at a 6. Probably going to stay at a 6.
Okay, so you're somewhere between a 6 and a 7.
Mostly 6.
Okay, mostly 6. Okay. All right, well, I'm interested to hear your take on that. I thought you may be somewhere slightly above the middle. In my mind, I'm always thinking, as I zero into your aura weekly.
My blue light.
I wonder what he's giving. And I always look across the table to you specifically, and I try to prejudge what you're going to say.
How'd you do?
I had 6 in my head.
Whoa.
Swear to God, I thought he's going to give a 6.
He saw his own blue light.
Nailed well, it's more it. Like an off, kind of like a high yellow, kind of like an off-brown kind of light. Is what
you, like his brown? Shorts.
Yeah, like his, maybe that's just the glow of your shorts. I don't know.
It's my aura.
Speaking of glowing shorts, I'm going to go to Max Gumbo Johnson, the illustrious one, 1 to 10 blue lights. What are you going to give Kumare 2011?
I had some problems with this as a documentary, but overall, I enjoyed the movie. I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
7 blue lights.
7 blue lights. We have 6 blue lights. We have 10 blue lights. Producer.
I want you to guess mine.
5.
6.
Okay, 6. That was close.
That's real close.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All
just,
right.
Just one away.
I don't know which way to go. I'm really confused a bit because I do like the movie. I'm going to go between 6 and 7, maybe possibly 7. I'm glad I watched the film. I don't feel like I had 90 minutes of my life circle the drain or anything like that. I'm going to say if you're interested, it's worth a look for sure. I mean, it's a film worth looking at. It's certainly ambitious. I think Kumare, the guy who played Kumare, I liked him. Kumare,
literally played
because
Kumare.
Because of that laugh.
The laugh was fantastic.
He knew what he was doing.
Exactly. To me, he's what may get me to 7 because I thought he did a very fine job. I'm also surprised at the tone. I thought, and I say that in a good way.
Yeah.
I really thought this could have been a harsher sentiment.
Oh, yes.
And I'm glad it didn't take that. I didn't want Borat in a robe, okay? Right. I didn't want it to be at the expense of damaged people or anything. I really wanted to see if this could be something honest in the middle of something very dishonest. I think it's that. It wasn't a bunch of finger wagging, you know, enjoy the train wreck sort of thing.
No.
The message here is actually quite the opposite to me, which I really respected. I think it's more about the people in the inner vacuum that most people have, right? The people, you know, what can I fill my life with to give me meaning and direction? So the content is nice. I like the way the layers were pulled back, but I also kind of think it's a weak film, in a way, from a filmmaking standpoint. Not a bad documentary, because it does what a documentary should, which is spark conversation. But I felt like it was underdeveloped. There isn't much of a backstory to anyone per se. I kind of wished it would have gone a little deeper into that and connected the people inside the film more. You know, but I think it's a film that's done pretty well as far as what it wanted you to think about. I just wish it could have been a little bit better filmmaking to me. I just felt like it was a little underhashed.
Hmm.
But I still think I'm going to go 7.
Right.
The more I think about that laugh, put me at 7, Max. It's not a very strong 7. Yeah, that thing. You kind of see what I'm saying, though. I like the content. I just don't know if it hooked me craft-wise as much as I thought. I thought a lot was left in the desert or on the table.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's pretty good, 43.
That's not bad, huh?
43 blue lights.
Yeah, not for a Savage pick.
Sure. Savage, follow that up, man. Yeah. You went way up here on 10.
Yeah.
What
well,
you got?
Well, I went into this with trepidation as well, because if you know me and if you've been to my home, I mean, spiritual iconography is kind of the motif of my lair, and it's something that I wouldn't say struggled with my entire life, but it's something that I have personally have sought in many, many forms. So the subject matter was intriguing to me. And I went in with trepidation, like you said, because if it were a Borat thing where there's kind of a malicious glee that Sacha Cohen did. And he did it well. And, you know, and Borat was an established character already. So these people kind of got fooled by a character who existed already, if you knew the Ali G show. There wasn't that. And I don't think this started as that. You know, this it started off to be the documentary of trying to find the false gurus and the false prophets. And I would like to see that documentary as well, the one he started off to make. But then it morphed into this thing. I liked how kind he was almost. There is this intrinsic tricking, but there was also this complete disclosure throughout the entire experience.
Yes.
He kept telling them the truth. It was masked in a lie, but the truth was always there. And he handled it very deftly. And then I was really charmed by how he changed and how what he came to do started affecting him, or the effect that he had had on these people, which was the goal.
Yeah.
But then it ended up changing him as well. I think so much is empty for so many people that they're looking for meaning. That's why I was scared to watch it, because I didn't want somebody to be cruel to that weakness, you know. But and then there wasn't the religious thing like Bill Maher did, where it was like, look how foolish these people are, you know.
So it stands on its own as far as how it delivered its premise. Yeah,
and
it
then, did. You know, Buddhism, that's called the middle ground, the middle road. And he walked that. He wasn't smug like Maher was, and he wasn't cruel like Cohen was. And I really appreciated that. And in the end, when we get the scenes, I really, really appreciated that.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you. I think that the tone was satisfying to me.
Yeah.
And certainly the ending.
Yeah.
It uplifted me, not for any kind of big reveal spiritually, but just the way that the people came together, I think, at the end was very uplifting. But Hoodie.
Hey.
Savage goes 10, you go 6.
Yeah.
I pushed it up just a bit, but what do you got? What do you have for Kumare 2011?
I feel like he did start out making fun of these people, very much so, with the chants that were gibberish, complete gibberish, and then the yoga move that was just basically an air guitar that they were still practicing at the end of the movie. You know, so he was absolutely making fun of these people.
Do you think that, or do you think he was pushing the social experiment?
He made them do air guitar.
Do you
remember this
guitar
move?
Yeah, the Pete Townsend.
Yeah, that's right.
That's called the Bill and Ted.
I kept waiting for the power slide that never happened.
Right. But I mean, and they were really. He was like, I was just making stuff up off the top of my head, and it was like a Nike slogan or an Army slogan. It's just like, okay, so yeah, he was absolutely making fun of them at the beginning, and you can say that he went through the change. I'm still kind of. I don't know if he actually went through the change or if he thought, oh, that would be really good in this movie. If I had actually changed and then, you know, and did something like that, that'd be great.
That's callous.
It is. What do you do? But as far as the people, I went into this feeling really sorry for all of them.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, I was actually kind of envious of all these people that they were willing to, like, throw themselves in, you know, 100% on this ideal that this guy had just totally made up.
Yeah.
Which, I really do. I really envy anybody that can just give 100% of themselves. I'm not that guy. So,
I hear you. Yeah, it's kind of like I'm taking a bit from you and I'm taking a bit from him.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some of the scenes, why I think that he sanded off the edges nicely to keep away from the bitterness that could have pulled this thing along. He was certainly very, I wouldn't say upset, but he was very torn at the end of, should I reveal?
Conflicted. Sure. Yeah.
And I think that comes from a place of he didn't want to hurt these people.
I'm sure it did. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's been living with him for how long? Yeah. How long did he stay with
40
him?
40 days or something.
Wow. Like
that. You're going to make relationships. I mean, that was bound to happen. I mean,
what about you, Max Gumbo Johnson? What do you got? You went to a 7, I do believe.
I gave it a 7.
So you got up there a bit. What do you got?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. The one problem I had with it as a documentary is that if you're going to make a documentary, as far as I'm concerned, one of the rules is you should be somewhat distanced from your subject. You can't be so influential on what happens in the documentation of whatever it is that's happening.
I think that's why I had to say it felt a bit underhashed to me. I think if someone else had filmed him and made the film, it would have been a better film.
Yeah, because he can dictate what happens through the quote-unquote documentation of what he's doing. So he's got a personal stake in the documentary that he's making about himself. So that pulls points from it as a documentary. On the other hand, I'm with Matt. He started out, I mean, the whole first 10 minutes was like, you know, I grew up with this, and I thought it was silly, and I thought it was stupid, and I tried to distance myself from it. I pulled away, went to college, I smoked cigarettes and drank beer for, you know, I just wanted to get as far away from this as I can. He started meeting these gurus, and he was like, well, hell, apparently anybody can do this, so let me try it.
Right.
But he got a doctorate in religious studies, though.
Well, and the other guy had a acoustic theologian.
Oh yeah.
I mean, so yeah.
Well, I got a whole bit on that.
You can get a degree in anything.
Oh, you're talking about the guy who changed his name to Life.
Oh right, my God.
Right. His name was Life.
Don't even get me started on that.
We'll just call him Bill Buffer.
Bill
the Buffer. But yeah, so he literally started out to prove that these guys were phonies and that the followers of them were sort of weak-minded people. But yeah, as it progressed, you could tell he got attached to these people.
Yeah.
And he started going through that and saying, well, maybe I should come up with something to teach these people a lesson. A good lesson, nonetheless, but still a lesson. I like how he progressed through the movie, how he developed through the movie, how his quote-unquote character developed through the movie. That I liked, but I have to draw back from it because he was directing himself in a documentary. That just...
Do you think it's got product bias or content bias?
You can't say it does or it doesn't, but you can't discount that it does.
I think it hurts the honesty of it.
It hurts. Mm-hmm. He might have looked at the dailies and go, wow, I'm being a real jerk here. Let's not use that. Let me use this. And let me change this. You know, that we don't know whether or not that happened.
Yeah.
Or I look like a real jerk. Let's give these guys a message. Let's brainstorm on a message.
Yeah. he totally could have done that. We don't know.
And you know what? As much as I say I'm glad that it wasn't mean-spirited, something tells me I wanted to see a bit of that. I wanted to see a bit more confrontation between the characters at play, which I wrote all these people down. I'm talking Toby, Pam, Craig, Greg, Kimberly, Stewart, Emily.
Yeah.
But all these people kind of came in and came out very gingerly. I didn't feel like there was enough honesty between his connection with them. It's like it was too airbrushed.
I would have liked that end scene when like four or five of them got up and walked out. Yeah. I wanted to see a scene between him and them. That's who I wanted to see him talk to. The people that supported him, okay, that's kind of boring. Yeah. I want to see the people that are really ticked off at this guy. That's what I want to hear their story. Because, I mean, what are they going to say? Well, he duped us. Well, you believed him.
Right. And he was telling you over and over.
He was telling you the exact same thing. He was telling you everything you wanted to hear that some other guy would have told you that wouldn't have admitted to being a phony.
And you said yesterday that your life was better because of him. Yeah. So how much did he dupe you?
So why are you so mad at him now?
Right.
He did the same thing.
I have a theory on that. You know, they must have got clearance when they first met the people to like, we're doing a documentary. You got to sign this clearance. And when they got up and left, they no longer was like, I don't want to talk to you at all because everything that you shot before you can use because I gave you clearance for it. But from here on out, I don't want to have anything to do with you.
But yeah, I'm sure they got clearance, but I still wanted to hear their side. I wanted to see what were they so mad about?
They tried to contact Tish, the yoga teacher, and she wouldn't talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Because at the end of the film, my first thought was, okay, great. We see who supports him.
Right.
How did this affect everybody? You showed me this guy for the last 30 minutes. I want to know what he's taking as he leaves out the door.
Right.
Animosity, angst, hatred, or whatever. But you never got that. And I'm with Max. I feel like that was a gap. And in the hands of a different filmmaker, we may have gotten that.
Well, we may have not. These people may have been so embarrassed to be like, well, I can't believe I was taken in by this guy. I don't want to talk to anybody now.
Right.
You know, I like Vikram. As the movie went along, I liked who he was. I liked his character. He kind of flipped his own script and thought, I'm in the middle of it. And as he started to realize these people are damaged, I mean, one lady says, all I want is someone to extend me a hand. In the end, I'm looking for a hand.
Yeah.
And that was the blonde lady that lost 70 pounds. And at that point in the film, he realizes, wait a minute, there are people looking at me to give them a hand. I better somehow find a way to be that.
Yeah.
And that's when the film took a much more tender approach.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It did. It definitely changed tones.
Yeah.
When he got back from Phoenix, I think, because at Phoenix, where the second city he went to was Tucson.
The second city was Tucson.
That's where he really pushed it. And he said, I was going to see how absurd I could do it. And that's when he did the triptych with Osama, Obama. That pushed the barrier just a little bit. It's like, now I am truly, you know, making fun of this guy. But when he got back from Tucson, and he reconnected with the people, and that was one of the controls of the experiment, the social experiment, was to see how many of them were still attached. And then I think then it really, like you said, it took this tone of more tender because he was changing. And you don't have to belittle him. I mean, there was that thing with the three pitchers, which I thought crossed that line a little bit, but he never did any other way.
That was some kind of an experiment, obviously. He didn't get into that too much, though. It just shows that shot of him, of Osama, and Obama. And the guy just standing there scratching his head. I thought, okay, what kind of social commentary or political commentary are we going to get into here?
Right.
It was just left at that, so take what you want.
Yeah.
Producer, we have not heard from you. I have not forgotten about you, my child. Let's hear about Let's hear about what you think of this film.
Show us that blue light, Adam.
Yeah, shine your light upon me. 2011, Kumari, what did you get from it?
Pretty much what y'all were saying. I thought when this started, I thought it was going to be a silly, stupid, bull rat type movie. Especially, you know, when they're going at the very beginning, making fun of all the fake gurus to begin with. But then I think while watching this, I thought the joke came on him that these people actually cared for him. And I think he started caring for him.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff he was saying wasn't bad teachings.
No.
Yeah, I think that all of his sayings were correct. I just think it became more joke on him than anyone else.
You know, he makes a good point. The joke did become on him. He became the one who didn't realize what he was getting into.
Right.
You know, he was supposed to be the one in control, and after he got into the thing, he realizes, wait, this is something different than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that kind of spun his own web a bit.
Yeah, well, that's why the film opened with that quote.
The film also opened with him standing in front of a bunch of naked people. Did you see that final credit shot? He's in India somewhere.
Yeah, right? Well,
oh, it's India. Yeah.
And we're going to get into the opening montage.
That's my Saturday morning, by the way.
I'm sure it is. I'll tell you what, it's not going to be your Wednesday night, I promise. Let's get into some of the scenes after we come back in a second. But that one I remember in particular, and I thought this could be kind of a hammy kind of film because, as it says, directed by Vikram, he's standing in India in this big crane shot in front of standing around a bunch of naked people. I'm like, okay, where's this film going to go?
I want to say, man, I want to go where that guy was.
No, you don't. You know it stinks.
Yeah, but they're all naked. Got to be one hot one there.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, guys, let's take a break here. Let's listen to a piece of Kumari. Hell, let's hear from Kumari right here. We'll come back and get into some of these scenes.
The power of illusion was greater in Tucson than I'd ever imagined. I knew I would never see these people again.
Hello, Mr. Live.
So I wanted to see how far I could push it.
So I have a Western doctoral degree from the university.
You are a doctor of philosophy.
Yes.
This is how I give your symbol of happiness, senor. So you can open eyes and you look. See your feeling. You will have to use this image like a mirror. All symbol, just symbol, nothing inside altar.
It felt like experiencing bliss and light, and I can feel the energy of him and I connecting in the ritual. He's someone who I can express my energy through, and he could express energy through me. Uae Kumari. Uae Kumari. Uae Kumari.
So there it is. There's a piece of Kumari 2011. I think you heard from Kumari, actually. We hadn't talked much about what's in the film. We talked about what we thought of the film. We talked about what we felt about the film. Let's talk about what we saw.
Yeah.
Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hey.
When you look back at this film, scenes, things that stick out, what comes to the surface for you?
We've kind of already touched on it. It's when he came out to everybody at the end and Trish got up and walked out. Yeah. I thought that was one of the most powerful moments of the whole thing. Couple that with everybody else mid-sentence just erupting in you know, applause.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That caught me so off guard. I was not expecting that one.
Did you get verklempt?
I did not get verklempt at all. I was like, what are these guys? What is happening? He duped you.
How much do you think was left off of the movie? Because I felt like that came a little too easy for some of these people. That's something left out that made them okay with it.
Unless they're just that.
They were happy.
I thought the same thing. I was like, did they actually literally break out in applause right then, or did he edit that to make it look like they broke out in applause right there? I kind of get the feeling he edited that to make it that way.
Well, he did a good job. It was powerful.
I mean, the guy's a phony. We know that.
Oh, so yeah.
He's not afraid to lie.
He's a liar.
I'll tell you what, though. I did like the end. I thought that was pretty good.
I did like that, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he's standing in the mirror, too, and I felt that weight on him.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the first time, he was going to reveal, and he canceled. He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I like that they put that in the movie, that did not come easy to him. He went on this journey with these people. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the opening. The opening was such a different tone than the ending, because the opening was cynical.
Yeah,
where absolutely. The ending wasn't. I mean, the first hour, well, the pre-credit stuff, it opens up with a quote. Faith begins as an experiment and ends as an experiment. And then
ends
it talks.
As an experience.
I'm sorry. Is that what it said? Experience? Yeah.
It starts as an experiment, and ends as an experience.
You see, I wrote it wrong. Hmm. I needed a guru to step in and tell me what I actually saw.
You're right.
I think both of them would fly, though.
But, you know, I kind of like the opening montage where it shows him as a kid and his grandmother. Mm-hmm. So you see that he comes from this meditative kind of a backstory of his life.
Yeah.
And he talks about most American kids worshiping Hulk Hogan. And then it gets into that just bizarre Bollywood stuff.
I love that.
But what do you got, Max? Talk about some scenes in this film.
I'm going to go completely against what James said, where he leaves and goes to Tucson and meets those two guys, the
acoustic theologian.
What a moron. What an idiot.
Yeah, no, that guy.
And he played right into that guy's hands with his writhing around. Yeah. He's now I'm going to blow the pipe on you and just relax. And then he was brushing the feather over him. What a moron. You're an idiot. You
that guy
are
was terrible.
An idiot.
And so then we went back to the healing room. And I did a session with him. And hold. Arm down at your side. Good. Keep holding. Let your body drop. Let everything go through you. And just feel yourself getting lighter and lighter. Joy and divine bliss, which is our birthright. Goosebumps coming all over my arms. As soon as I would look at him or connect with the energy, it would just go all over me.
And he played right into that guy's hands, and he showed what a phony that guy was.
Well, he
showed
what
the same with the psychic, too.
I don't know about the psychic.
What do you mean, what about the psychic?
I was going to go to the black guy with the dreads that he set up the pictures of Osama bin Laden and Obama.
He was a poser.
I was like, yeah, you need to, this is what you need to worship. And like, he did it. If somebody would come to my house and said, okay, I'm going to put up a picture of President Obama, a picture of me, and a picture of Osama bin Laden, these are the guys you got to pray to, I'd be like, screw you, man. Get out of my house. But this guy was like, okay, well, and then he just went on to sing his praises about what a great guy he was and how smart he was. And it's like, you just made yourself like the biggest idiot in the world.
Yeah, and that horn, too. The eerie chants.
The didgeridoo thing.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think about let's talk about this for a second, Max. You lead this one off. How about the Urantia scene? Let's get into that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went to this actual commune.
Look, I'm not going to hide my opinions here. I am no big fan of religion, organized religion, at all.
Neither was he.
And no, he wasn't either. I would have totally loved to have seen this movie just skewer organized religion. Yeah. He could have done that.
I'm glad he didn't.
And I'm glad he didn't. Here's the point that he made, in my opinion. He made the point that if you find comfort in some belief and that helps you in believing some of this stuff, good for you.
Right.
If it helps you, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you don't hurt anybody or anything like
that.
Great. And I think that's the ending message of the film.
Well, the ending message of the film is Kimberly lost 70 pounds. because at the end, he almost kind of tried to paint a picture of, well, I did this good thing. Look at the people I helped.
I don't think he tried to prop himself up at the end of the
movie. I didn't see that either.
No? Okay.
I think he genuinely felt a connection with these people, and he wanted that to come across in what he put in the movie.
Producer, what do you think? What do you got when you think of this film scene-wise? What rises to the top for you?
Oh, probably my favorite part was the guy at the very beginning, the guru that was talking about just having sex with all the young girls. Yeah.
Now, he's a famous guy. I forget his name right now, but he was with
Bagudav.
Yeah.
I call him the Buddhist pimp is what I wrote down.
Oh, what a scumbag.
Yeah.
But he was with the whole, the first wave of 70s guys that went to India and met the Maharaji with Ram Dass and came back. But Ram Dass kind of superseded everybody.
Well, you know what he said? He said, you know, I went to India to see how much phoniness there was there. And in the beginning, he said, there's just so much phoniness in this guru stuff in India as there is in America. Everybody's trying to out-guru each other in India.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it goes to Bharag Dag, the guy you just talked about. I think they filmed him when he didn't know he was being filmed.
No, that's just how that dude is.
What can be more entrancing than having sex with a very spiritual person? It shows him telling that to a girl.
No, not just a young girl. If I was 18, you know,
I was 20 years old.
I was 20, I'd be... You would love to hang around with a guy like me. What a scum slime bag, man. What a piece of garbage.
Maybe he just believes his own hype.
He's no Bhagavad Gita, I tell you that.
He's no holy book.
You know, another scene that I think about, that actually I think about quite a bit when I look back at the film, was the kabam scene. You talk about cheesy.
I was going to talk about that. I was
cheesy salesmen with the stupid vision boards.
Yeah.
What did you think of that, Hoodie?
I thought it was an awful catch. Kabam?
Kabam!
You can do better.
Who would follow this guy? He looked
exactly
like Meatloaf.
Well, that's part of the, social experiment.
Hey, wait,
this
I'd
was another
Meatloaf.
Leader. This was another leader. This was another guru.
That guy was the worst.
Yeah, but what's the great about that scene is they couldn't even visualize keeping the office space for the entire evening.
We got to go. We got to go. We're going to have the rest of this meeting outside.
Yeah. I mean, when you're standing outside a strip mall for spiritual guidance, yeah. you're on the wrong path. I don't care what you believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The funniest part to me is when he cut that woman off like mid-message yeah. board explanation. He's like, we got to, you know, tap this watch. Let's keep it rolling.
She looked so hurt.
Yeah, she really did.
She really
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
What did you think about the, what they call them, the vision boards? Remember when they had him do his?
Yeah.
And I think he was mocking him, too. He just cut out smiley faces.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was
and
great.
And pasted them on everybody's faces in the picture on the board. Because the board is supposed to show what he visualizes in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so stupid.
He was totally mocking them in that scene.
Is it this easy to start a cult? What are we doing here right now?
Apparently.
No,
someone get me a robe. I'm going to have 25,000 followers by the end of the week.
I think it is. I think it is.
Ever heard of L. Ron Hubbard?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
We're going to get sued now.
Yeah, we're going to get sued now.
Sue away. You can't squeeze blood from a turnip.
Right. No, but I think he did prove that. I think it is. He did prove with this social experiment that you can start a following. And, you know, if you want to label it a cult, you can. If you want to, you know, get tax exemption, you just label it a religion.
Yeah. Well, he brought that up in the movie, actually. He said, is it's all it takes to get a cult started is to make people believe they're happy or something like that?
Yeah.
Or make them believe that you're making them happy?
Well, at the end, most of them were happy, except for five of them.
Well, but I think he told them the truth repeatedly through the thing. It's like this
and
is.
He said that over and over.
Yeah, this is not me. This is an illusion. This is fake. You don't need a guru. What you need is inside you.
That was still backpedaling, though. That happened. I mean, that wasn't the initial.
I think it was.
Even at the end, when he said, the woman says, okay, I know you're not really this, but I think you have some psychic powers. And he's like, no.
Yeah, that's how it ends.
Like, oh, yeah.
No.
Are you people so delusional and looking for something to hold on that bad that you're going to tell the guy that he's got something that he's just told you he doesn't have?
Yeah.
But if you're looking for something, you're going to find something.
That's right.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And that's what the movie tells me.
Out of all the people that were his followers, is there anybody here that you kind of warm to the most? Because some of them seem like pretty sweet people. I mean, they didn't seem like anybody I wanted to see get hurt, especially Kimberly, the blonde at the end that lost all the weight. That scene and that exchange with him where she's crying and saying, look, you know, I lost my husband. I'm an empty nester now.
Yeah.
I don't know which way to go. I don't know how to give back to myself. I just want a hand. I like that exchange, and I like to see that at the end, she was left intact, and more than intact.
Yeah.
She was left, in some regards, healed. Anybody else, as far as his followers,
like
stick out
that,
to you?
I like the one that went up and hugged him and said, you know, you're one of my sons now.
Oh, yeah, the scuba lady.
The older lady.
I like the guy who got grocery samples.
That dude there.
That was Stewart. He just wanted free food.
Why can't we just have a documentary on him?
Right.
Yeah, I would follow
him
all day.
Just around the grocery store, watch how he does it.
I mean,
I need to know that technique.
I have a video camera.
Oh, do you?
And he takes his neighbor's paper, reads it, puts it back
puts
in the
bin. Yeah,
that's right.
What kind of guy? You got
problems,
dude.
At least he doesn't steal
dude.
It.
Yeah, at least he puts it back.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey,
after
Adam.
I cut out the coupons, I put it back.
Adam, tell me what you thought of this. I thought this one might be something you remember. I think this is where he almost gets into some Borat territory. It shows him getting everybody down on all fours.
Yeah.
And doing that bizarre exhale thing where he had them arch their backs and hiss and stuff.
Well, that's a cat pose.
Okay. Was he doing that to mock
these? Yeah, the tongue is a little more.
That's mockery. That's what that is.
Yeah.
That was mockery, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's some science to it.
Yeah. Oh, is there?
Oh, no. There. No, whatever.
He didn't know the science. He was just making it up.
Release endorphins.
I think he was looking at the girl's breast on the very front row.
Please.
Oh God!
I'm reaching for that. I know.
Yeah, you keep on reaching there, buddy.
I think James
would follow this guy.
Kumare.
Yeah, and we're talking about Kumare 2011, by the way, the documentary queued up by James Hard Sub Savage. Let's go around the table one more time, get some final thoughts. Producer, what do you have? Nothing. Okay. Let's. I think he's meditating.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Look, he's so entranced at this moment. Yeah, he's meditating right now.
You just need to shave your beard and cut your hair.
Or let it grow.
No.
But anything else you guys want to get into as we wrap this conversation up about this film? Savage, you go ahead.
Well, I think if there's a moral lesson here, I think it's don't capitulate your self-responsibility following somebody else. What you need to do is with inside you, and I think that's what he's trying to teach.
Yeah.
And I liked his lesson that he learned, and this is a quote from Vikram, is that by telling his biggest lie, he learned his deepest truth. And I like that. And I thought the lesson is important.
Did he say that in the film, or did you just make that up?
No, it's a quote from him when he was talking about the film.
Oh, for a minute there, you really spoke to me.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I know.
You guys hug it out.
I'm going to hug him. Yeah.
Blue lights.
I didn't see blue lights.
No, there was no, there is no blue light. Not once. Yeah. I would have liked to have seen more of the poignant moments and the moments where they were sort of learning a lesson. I would have seen a little bit more intermixture of some really biting stuff. Like the guy praying to the picture of Osama bin Laden and the idiot with the car buffer. I would have liked to seen a little more of that mixed in just to really juxtapose the point he was trying to get at.
Maybe, yeah.
With that. Yeah. I think that would have made it a way more balanced film. And it would have driven the initial point home a lot harder.
And also, I like the parts where you could see the weight on him and the pressure on him.
Yeah.
I wish there would have been more of like a confessional moment thrown in here and there where it shows just him staring at the camera going, I don't know if I can go through with this. This is how I'm feeling. I'm out of character now. There was too much Kumare almost. Mm. There needed to be more of what he really was also in there.
That would have turned into like a real world.
Maybe. You know, I'm talking about by the confessional thing. Yeah. I wanted to feel the weight of the experience on him.
I think they did that well with that mirror shot, him in the bathroom, and then just the reveal. You know, that was brutal.
Yeah, I know.
Walking into that room in his American clothes, that was absolutely brutal.
His American clothes.
Yeah. American clothes.
His jersey clothes.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap this up right here. We're going to get into our top three. I forgot what it was. Oh, characters who are not who they say they are. Sometime in the movie, they appear to be something different than what they actually are. That's what we're talking about. And let's take one last shot, one last listen to the film here. Kumare 2011, we're going to come back, get into our top three.
Hello, gurus. By now, you must understand my teaching. That the external guru is an illusion. That he only exists to help you find the truth. That the guru is inside of you. In many ways, I am the same as you. I was born here in the USA and grew up in New Jersey. I am a US citizen. But how do these effects define my true self? They don't. But something inside me does. As a young man, I reflected and realized that my identity was an illusion. My curiosity brought me to meet many swamis and sadhus, and priests, and saints, and gurus. But none of them would say one thing that I truly believed. That you don't need them. You don't need anyone outside yourself to make you happy.
So there it is. There's a piece of the film we just talked about. Kumare, the documentary from 2011, queued up by James Hardsub Savage, the most spiritual one of the group. Self-anointed, actually.
No, man, about it. You are. I could give two flying. Never mind.
Listen, Max, you've watched Samsara.
Yep.
You've watched Kumare.
Yeah.
Are you not a deeper, more entranced person, a more rooted person? Aren't you closer to God is what I'm trying to say?
He's okay, better for see, it. He's better for it.
So, no, I think we're all better.
God is within you.
That's right. This
We can do a whole other show about
that. Yeah, right.
This is Curly's message.
What is Curly's message? The one finger.
Just one thing.
I love that. We could have used that about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, right. Well, I've been like, anyway.
The one thing, okay. Right. A little City Slicker there, reference there. But let's get into our top three because these always inspire something. This one's no different. Top three characters who are not who they said they were.
Yeah.
Savage, I'm going to you. Inspired by Kumare. Number three for you. What you going with?
Well, I kind of did this. Taking a book from our page from Hoodie's book, I kind of did this different, so I'm not real good at this. But John Wayne and Genghis Khan, the from The Conqueror. Yeah, you weren't Chinese. Nope, not even close.
That's not bad.
Not even close.
That's a stretch. That's really a stretch.
Funny. I already know you're number one.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah. I like where you're going with that. A little play on the top three, but okay. We'll let that go. Hoodie, let's go over to you. Number three for you, and we're talking about characters who are not who they said they were. What you going with?
I went with Leonardo DiCaprio in Departed.
It's a good one.
God, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good film. Billy.
I didn't think about that, but that is a great answer.
Yeah.
Because so much of the movie is based on that.
Yeah. There's a bunch of people who were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of a bunch of liars, man.
Yeah, he could have a top three from that movie.
Are you gonna,
he might.
Are you going to have a top three Leonardo DiCaprio? Because I just thought of two more.
Right.
Well, give them to me real quick. We'll pause it, and then I'll say yes.
Catch Me If You Can and Shutter Island.
Why don't we just wait until everybody's lists are done, Max? Okay. Someone have any whiteout?
Oh, my God. Oh, well, I mean, okay, my bad. Right. So I'm sorry.
Max Gumbo Johnson, what's number three for you?
I don't know. This was hard for me because I didn't know exactly what direction to go with this. I'm going to have to go Joe from Killer Joe. The guy was a sheriff, and he was a contract killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe.
That was a I mean, who would expect their sheriff to be a contract killer?
And love fried chicken so much.
Yep.
Oh, boy, did he ever.
Thanks for bringing that back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've never driven more quickly past a Kentucky Fried Chicken in my life than when I left that one.
Right.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Adam. Answer. Producer, why don't you go step in there? What's your number three for characters who are not who they said they were, inspired by the film Kumari?
DJ Qualls from The New Guy.
Don't know what the hell that is.
Nope.
Comedy?
Oh, The New Guys.
Oh,
I'm
DJ
sorry.
Qualls.
Comedy.
Yeah.
No, I gotcha. Who was in that, though? I can't remember.
DJ Qualls. Louis Deschanel.
Okay, I'll take your word for that. Because I thought I was thinking, you know, I was thinking of the Will Ferrell movie for a minute. About the two cops with Mark Wahlberg. I thought that's what you were talking about.
Oh, the new
about.
Guys.
The other guys.
The other guys. Okay, but you're not talking about that.
No, something else.
They're the old other guys.
Right.
I'll tell you my number three. I'm going with a comedy vein. These are comedies. Okay?
And you missed a new guy.
Well, I'm so sorry. My number three comedy-based character who was not who he said he was, I'm going with Jack Black as Ned Schneebly in School of Rock.
Wow, that's good.
Thank you very much.
Real good.
He was Dewey Finn. I love the movie, by the way. Richard Linklater. He steals his roommate's identity, goes over to a Forest Green school as Ned Schneebly. Rides that thing the whole movie long.
Right.
And he didn't give up.
Right.
That was great. That's a good answer.
Ned Schneebly. So there you go. Savage, number two. What is it?
Yeah, again, I did it a little different. Charlton Heston, Touch of Evil, You're Not Mexican.
Oh, I thought that was going to be your number
you're
one.
You're not Mexican.
Damn it.
No way in hell, huh?
No, you're not Mexican.
I like what he's doing here.
That's great, yeah.
I mean, this isn't so much in the plot. Right. This is more about you looking at it going, that ain't right. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I like what he's doing.
Yeah.
How about Hoodie? I want to see what he's doing here. What's your number two?
History of Violence.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen.
He sold me until the end.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was a strange movie, man. A weird movie.
I really liked that movie.
I liked it too, man, but it was just a strange film.
Great scene with a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Cronenberg. Yeah. I would like to talk about that.
I thought you were going to say the naked fight scene.
No.
That's Eastern Promises. Yeah. That's full crack.
Eastern Promises. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That is full.
Again, could be an answer.
Yeah, that could be an answer, too. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
If someone had taken a Sharpie and put two W's on each butt cheek, it would have said, wow, about a million times in that scene. You know what I'm talking about? Or mom. Right. I don't know.
It depends on, you know, which guy's
being. Depends on where the camera was and what position he
could
was
have
in.
Could have said mim.
Adam, the producer, the greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast, step up, tell me what your number two character, who wasn't who he said he was.
Donnie Brasco.
Nice answer.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
I thought about that one.
You know why that's a good answer? Because the whole movie is about just that.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy, he was deep, deep, and a true story.
Yeah. And a true story.
Right.
Bum, bum, bum.
Max, give me truth. Give me truth right now. Number two for you. What is it? Reveal. Reveal, sir. What you got?
I'm going to have to go with a Star Wars twofer, Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's a dumb answer.
No, it's not.
Ben wasn't what he said he was, right?
Ben wasn't what he said he was. He was hiding his identity from Luke.
Right.
Because he said, Obi-Wan.
You know what? That's a good answer.
I've not heard in a long time. And then Darth Vader didn't come out as Anakin.
You turned me around on this answer.
Thank you.
I thought it was dumb, and now I don't. I like the answer.
I convinced you.
Yeah.
I thought it was dumb.
Whose turn is it?
Fantastic Alec Guinness impression.
Oh, is it me? Yeah. Oh, check this out. It's just a scene in the movie, okay, that I think is great. I'm talking about Kevin Kline as Agent Non-Frigin-Jinson from A Fish Called Wanda.
Non-Frigin-Jinson.
You remember when he breaks into the house?
Yeah.
He pretends he's like a CIA agent?
No.
You don't remember? You know what I'm talking about?
I know the exact
I love
scene
Kevin Kline,
about.
And I love that scene so much, man. He won an Academy Award. And she comes right back to him. Well, I'm going to part ways with you, Agent Non-Frigin-Jinson. And he looks at her like, she got it right. You have to see the movie. Great scene.
Kind of like Ed Cocktostone.
Right.
No.
What's your we're getting into number we're getting into number ones here.
About that too.
Savage, what you got?
Keanu Reeves and Much Ado About Nothing. He's not a Shakespearean actor.
Okay.
Wah, wah.
I like what you did with this whole thing.
Yeah, he's just not that.
I like the twist you put on this. Yeah, he's not. You ever see Dracula 2?
Yeah, even worse.
Dracula 2? They made a sequel?
Dracula as well, Savage. Yes. Let me correct my English here.
Completely miscast.
Dracula ear.
Dracula 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Dr. Acula.
Yeah, Dr. Acula. Ooh, I see a script.
Awesome.
How about a doctor who becomes a vampire and he's Dr. Acula? Oh, yeah. Is that it? Okay. Hoodie, what's your number? Are we up to number ones?
Yeah.
Number one's for you, Hoodie. What you getting into?
Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That could have went with my comedy theme.
That's fantastic.
That's a good answer. There's a lot of that in there, too.
How did I not get that?
I don't know.
Gosh. Well, I'll tell you, he played the guy who played the other guy who played the one guy who played the other guy.
But who didn't play, though, was the guy behind the guy.
Oh, that's right.
Behind the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of full retard, Adam, what's number one for you? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that.
Fletch.
Yep. All right.
Somebody all right, move along.
John Cocktostone.
Max, what's your number one?
My number one is Ed/Roy in Primal Fear. Ed Norton.
That's a great one.
It is.
In the courtroom drama.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's
where
he good.
Played the stuttering moron through the whole movie. And
his debut,
like,
right?
Evil genius.
That's what I do every week.
He does. He does it well, too.
Yeah, you're great at it.
And we know that. And you know what? We know exactly who you are.
Someday you'll reveal your true self.
Right. And it will be that exact same person.
it'll just be evil. No genius.
Right.
I was hoping to come in and just tell you my number one with complete originality. Right. But you guys have already bounced it around.
Sure.
But I'm going to elaborate and compound on it. And I'm talking about Chevy Chase in Fletch as Ted Nugent, Arnold Babar, Dr. Rosenpenis, Dr. Rosenrosen, Dr. Rosen, John Cocklestoy, Mr. Poon, Igor Stravinsky, Fletch Mr. F. Poon. Flinch, Gordon Liddy, Don Corleone, Alan Stanwyck, Harry S. Truman, Mattress Police Agent, Mary Poppins, Jane Doe, Peggy Lee Zorba, Victor Hugo, Henry Himmler, Billie Jean King, Eldridge Cleaver, Claude Henry Smoot, Peter Lemongello, Ed Harley, Elmer Fudd Gantry, and Nostradamus.
All right. That's both movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one's the only good one.
I liked when he was Mr. Poon and Dr. Rosenpenis.
Dr. Rosen.
Using the whole hand there, Doc?
Moon River.
Wasn't there a children's book about an elephant named Babar?
Let's get into next week's big reveal. Who the hell is it? Me?
You.
Oh, it's me. It's my turn.
Yeah.
If this is a show about, hey, you should watch this on Netflix.
Sure.
I'm flipping around. I'm going to say to myself, I'm going to do this organically.
Right.
What's a film that if I passed by, I would say, hey, you should watch this?
Sure.
It popped out at me. I said, let's go with it. I'm talking about Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank? You talking about the 1996 John Cusack movie?
No, I'm talking about the 1997 John Cusack.
Oh!
I know what he's doing there. See that? I'm going to correct that, by the way. I'm going to take a new found path.
All
right. The 1997 John Cusack film.
Right.
Yeah, also has Dan Aykroyd in it. You
it
know?
Does.
Has Hank Azaria in it.
Jeremy
you know?
Piven.
Has Mary, I'm sorry, what's her name? Minnie Driver's
Minnie
in it.
Minnie Driver.
Yeah.
Hank Azaria. Yeah.
Jenna Elfman's in it. And did you know the guy from Walking Dead is in it?
Redhead.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, was that him? Oh, yeah,
that dude.
I dig his words.
He just wanted to do some blow, didn't he?
He just wanted to do some blow, man.
So that's next week.
And write some poetry.
Yeah, Gross Point Blank. So we'll get into that. And that's where this one ends, guys. If you want to leave your thoughts on this film, or any film, I don't care. You go to the qfilmcast.net. That's our catch-all. You go there and leave us any kind of message you want. So until then, next week, Gross Point Blank, gonna cue it, gonna review it, and however you say, kumare.
Oh, yes, I'm the great.
Yeah, I know you just listened to our episode of Kumare. I've been waiting to do this the entire episode, and I have to reveal to you that the entire Did You Know was bull. Bye.